News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm joined by Helen Sharman, who is the first British astronaut to look at the Artemis 3 mission in 2027. Helen, first of all, are you technically an astronaut or a cosmonaut?
Oh, good morning. Honestly, I don't think it really matters. So I flew with the Soviet space program, but I speak English, and the UK is now a member of the European Space Agency. And there we go. So astronaut, cosmonaut, I answer to either.
And you were, of course, not only the first British astronaut, you are still among the youngest cohort of people to ever be in space. You're only, what, 27?
I was, yes, almost 28, but still just 27. So yeah, that's very young for an astronaut. But I went to an already a mission assigned status as soon as I began my training. And that is helpful if you have to train for years generally, because you don't know what mission you're going to get. And then you go into mission assigned status. And that also adds to the length of time in the training. But most people these days are asked for more and more experience and higher education levels as well. So that, that increases the age at the bottom end.
Now, you therefore have a good insight into what faces the crew and also the significance of the Artemis 3 mission. Let's start with that latter. Why does it matter?
Well, Artemis 3 is designed to go into low Earth orbit and then practice what they call rendezvous and docking manoeuvres with what's going to be the landers on the moon. So when they do actually go to the moon in the next mission, Artemis 4, then the idea is that the Orion spacecraft will launch on top of the SLS rocket, will go into lunar orbit, and then while it's in orbit around the moon, it will dock onto one of these landers, and that's what will take the astronauts to the surface of the moon, and then later on back to the Orion spacecraft in which they can return to Earth. So yeah, Artemis 3 is a practice session for that. So they've got to test the docking capability of these landers. Of course, the big question mark is, we haven't even seen a lander yet. Neither SpaceX nor Blue Origin, the two companies that have been contracted by NASA to deliver these landing vehicles, they haven't produced one of these vehicles yet. So that is the big question mark. But nonetheless, NASA's gone ahead and gone, you know what? We're confident enough. Perhaps they're wishful thinking, they're pushing it along a bit. And they announced the crew members on Artemis 3 yesterday.
This sounds like one of those things that is easy to say and extraordinarily technically challenging to deliver.
Yes, I think it's it sounds lovely, doesn't it? And it's actually for those of us who are sort of a certain age and we can remember some of the Apollo era. If you remember Apollo 9, well, that did a very similar kind of thing. It did practice this rendezvous docking procedure in low Earth orbit before it then, the next mission went on to the moon. So, it's something that NASA is comfortable with in terms of it's a bit like the procedure sort of roughly is tried and tested. But yes, actually delivering a vehicle that's going to be reliable, how do you actually dock onto that vehicle? So are all the systems in place that's going to allow that to happen? And then when you have docked, will the seal be appropriate? Now, of course, we remember with Artemis 2 and 1 as well, how problematic some of the seals getting the fuel lines are. And so, yes, when you dock onto a spacecraft, that seal has got to be really good. You don't want to be leaking air out into space while you're trying to move from one spacecraft to another. So all of that stuff's got to be tested, as well as really pushing some of the life support systems as well. It's quite a big order for something that's supposed to be happening next year in 2027.
Can I ask, when you look at the announcement of a new crew and a new mission, do you get a slight pang of envy? Would you like to do it again?
You know what? I would love to go back into space. My mission was a short one. It was 8 days, a very typical one for, if you like, the non-Soviet people who were flying with the Soviet space program at that time. But yeah, I would have loved to have gone back then, stayed longer then. And yeah, to go back now would be just fantastic. But I'm also very, feel that I've been in a very privileged, a very fortunate situation to have even had that that experience.
Well, once. Actually, I on the topic of your privilege, I know this is tangential to the core reason that you were on, but can I check something with you? A lot of people would regard astronaut as kind of the coolest job to have. Was your previous gig designing flavors for chocolate?
Well, that was pretty cool as well. So often, yeah, I do still go and talk with, I love talking actually with young people. And when I tell them that, you know, I had this job making chocolate and ice cream for a big confectionery company before I then went into space, I think, you know, if you want anything to show what science and technology can do in your career and you want to inspire some young people, then those two different are quite wildly different on the surface. But, you know, you're using your science, you're using that to create something, to work with teams of other people, come together, and all of our different science and engineering disciplines can and marketing and economics, and of course all of that, all the leadership that's required, but you come together to produce something that is either beautiful, useful, or tasty.
Helen, it has been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much. That is astronaut and chocolate designer Helen Sharman.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.